everyone, as we dig out from our snowstorm and get ready for Parshas Va'era, I figured the best part of the parsha that would be appropriate to speak about is the Makkah of Barad. And I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts on Makkah's Barad, which of course is the last Makkah mentioned in this week's parsha, Parshas Va'era. There's an absolutely wonderful Vart in the Sefer Dovar Tov, a tremendous insight that comes from a Rashi here regarding the Barad. Rashi on Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Dalet, that he borrowed the Eish Mitzvakachas B'Tzei HaBarad, where the Pasuk says that there was fire miraculously in the Barad. Rashi says, Neis B'Tzei Neis, that it was a double miracle. Eish V'Barad Mu'uravim, V'Barad Mayimu, that the fire and water, hail comes from water, are mixed. V'Lafis B'Tzei Kainam Osu Sholim B'Neihim. Medu Ratzon Hashem, Shalom was created between them. He makes a deal here. Also Shalom B'Neihem somehow implies that something new, there was a new Shalom here. Now actually, Kozman, fire and water are in separate places. There's no machlokes between them anyway, that there should be a need to make Shalom. There's no ketata between them. By bringing them together, you didn't make Shalom. The miracle was that there was no fight between the fire and the water. And therefore, he suggests tremendous insight into this. What is Shalom? What is peace? Shalom is often thought of a lack of ketata, a lack of machlokes, a lack of fighting. That would be a negative thing, a lack of something, something missing. Actually, Shalom is a midah, it's a positive thing. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samadei says, Hashori b'lo yisha, shori b'lo simcha, b'lo bracha, b'lo taiva. It mentions that a man who was not zeichet to get married is missing in joy, in bracha, in taiva. We understand those. And then it says, Hashori b'lo yisha, shori b'lo shalom. Someone who's not married is living without peace. And that's a plea. It would seem to us, on the contrary, that marriage is an opportunity for dispute. The one thing a person has when he's not married, he's living alone, is he does have shalom. He does have peace. There are no two opinions in the house. So why does the Gemara say, Hashori b'lo yisha, Hashori b'lo shalom? How does marriage somehow create shalom? And the answer is this, you side. That to have no dispute does not make shalom. If a person's alone, there's no one to fight with, it's not a midah of shalom. It's a lack of ketata. But that is not what we're looking for as a midah taiva, to have shalom. On the contrary, the midah taiva of shalom is possible only when there are two opinions, when there are two people. When there's a possibility of discord, then there can be shalom. Then the midah of shalom can exist. And therefore, Hashori b'lo yisha, Hashori b'lo shalom. Marriage is an opportunity to shalom. So too with the Barad and the Yesh. When the Barad and the Yesh, the fire and water, are in two different locations, that's not called shalom. There is no dispute, no struggle between the fire and the water. But that is not yet shalom. To say also shalom b'neihem means to bring them together. There's a potential for one to be fighting the other, the water and fire fighting each other. And when they don't fight, that's shalom. A riot to this, that shalom is not only a lack of discord, a lack of argument, is from the following. There is a chakira, whether darkness is just the absence of light, or whether darkness is a creation unto itself. There are those who explain that chayshach is a creation. I believe the Gra in Parshas Bereishis says so. And he brings a raya from Yotzer Oyer Uvayre Chayshach. The pasuk says Hashem Yotzer Oyer created light, Uvayre Chayshach, and created darkness. We see darkness is not just an absence of light, but a creation unto itself. With that, we can go on. The pasuk continues, Yotzer Oyer Uvayre Chayshach, Oyser Shalom. We see from the same raya that shalom is not just an absence of argument, an absence of dispute, but that shalom is something positive. Bayas Hashem, Mesorakiya Hashem, created something. Oyser Shalom is again something that's positive, something that has to exist in a place. Mitzrayim adds a very nice thought. We have a rule, Hanifter Mechaveroi Omer Loi Lech Lishalayim, Hanifter Menemes Omer Loi Lech Bishalayim. The Gemara in Brachas says that the proper words with which to say goodbye to someone are the words Lech Lishalayim, go to peace. If someone's already passed away, the custom is to say Lech Bishalayim, go in peace. What is the explanation of the difference? The standard explanations don't use the word shalom as peace. They talk about shleimus, go to shleimus, and go with the shleimus you have. But they're missing the literal translation of shalom, which means peace. In line with what we've been discussing, he explains, lech lishalom. A living person can go to peace. He can go have a relationship with someone, and he can have shalom. However, a nifter who does not have the potential for disagreement, does not have the potential for machlaikis, lech bishalayim, go with the shalom you already have. There's no longer a possibility, lishalayim, of you to go to a place where there will be shalom. So this is tremendous insight, a tremendous mussar as well. I remember seeing in the Meshiv Dover and the Tshuva that shalom was created on the second day of creation. On the first day of creation, where there's only a oneness, there's no potential for machlaikis, so there's no shalom. On the second day, there's a potential for machlaikis, and on the second day, shalom was created. He said that's why the yayin for the second day is Shir Mizmar Livnei Kairach. There's a mizmar written by the children of Kairach who were involved with machlaikis. And it contains the words, Yifei Nais Misais Kol Ha'aretz, which is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Darshins. Yifei Nais, good wife, Misais Kol Ha'aretz, makes the whole world seem happy. Again, the theme of shalom. So that's a beautiful thought that comes from this line here regarding Makas Barad. The second thought regarding Makas Barad, this comes from the Tzitzis Baracha. At the end of the parasha, after the Barad has come to an end, the pasuk says, "Vayar Parei Gichad al Hamotar v'Habarad v'Hakaylis." Parei saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had come to an end. Why does it say the rain came to an end? The rain is an incidental part of the Barad. It's not really the Makkah. And it says at first, Vayar Parei Gichad al Hamotar, as if the main thing he had seen was that the rain had come to an end. This needs some sort of an explanation. Tzitzis Baracha explains as follows. A few psukim earlier, Parei calls Moshe and Aaron. He says, Chotosi ha'poam Hashem ha'tzadik v'ani v'ami ha'rishoim. He asks them to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rav mihiyais koilois elikim u'barad. And he asks for the thunder and the hail to stop. He doesn't ask for the rain to stop. Egypt is a land that needs rain. We know that the fields are irrigated from the Nile River, and it involves a lot of tircha, a lot of bother, schlepping the water to the place where it has to the fields where it has to irrigate the fields. He didn't want the rain to stop. He said, Rabbi Yais Kailais Elikim Ubarad. And Moshe responded, when I leave the city, I will spread my hands out to God. HaKailais Yechid Olun, HaBarad Loyeid. And the thunder will stop, and the hail will stop. He didn't say a word about the rain. Later, Parai sees that not only did the thunder and the hail stop as Moshe davened, but the rain stopped as well. Umata Leinita Harza. Parai's thinking to himself, maybe this is some sort of a coincidence. Look at this. Moshe Rabbeinu knew when it was going to stop. There was some type of an unusual natural phenomena that now came to an end. The matar was Parai's kasha on Moshe Rabbeinu. And don't think this is something unusual, because we know, had all the Bechayrim died, had it been said that the Bechayrim would die at midnight, and the Bechayrim had died a few minutes off, Parai would have seen some flaw in Moshe Rabbeinu. Here, he saw the flaw. Vayar Parai ki chadal hamotar v'habor ha'zakaylis. That the rain stopped as well, that gave him the excuse to have a heavy heart, to have a stubborn heart, and to continue to sin. A beautiful diuk in the Seder of the Pesukim. In the Yechazak Leif Parai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that he I will harden Pyrrhus' heart. Much has been written about whether it's fair to harden Pyrrhus' heart. The Ramban discusses it. Others do as well. What's often missed is the Rambam's Chiddush in Hilchos Teruva, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says that this, which happened to Pyrrhus, his lack of Bechira, is something that could happen to anyone. Rasha Chayte Ashigrumu Chatov Shistamu Dalsei Teruva. The Rambam says that it can happen to anyone, not only to Pyrrhus. If somebody sins enough, he can come to a point where his sins cause his ability to do tshuva to be removed. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. Now that's a plea, because we believe that human being always has bechira. Why is the Rambam saying that bechira can be taken away? I saw in the Leiv Eliyahu a footnote, a long footnote from Rav Shlomo Shvadron, who brought the Leiv Eliyahu to print. And he inserted a long footnote to explain this Rambam. And he has a beautiful explanation. He says sometimes a person sins to the degree that his sin causes that his heart is hardened. That's an einish, that's a punishment. All punishments can be removed through tzila. Davening helps. A person who davens and asks Rachmei Shemayim can have an einish removed. And therefore, says Rosh Hadron, the Rambam is not saying that he no longer has any bechira at all. He no longer has bechira in this sin. However, if he davens for the Yetzirah to be removed, that davening will help. That's from Shemayim. He'll have siyata d'shemayah for the Yetzirah to disappear. It's important for each and every one of us. We all have some level of avodas Hashem in which we too have reached a point of kishrei leiv. There are things we do sometimes maybe that we can't control. Playing on the internet too long, battling too long, watching ball games, which is a total waste of time. And there are things that we find very difficult to stop doing. We're so in the habit of doing it. We've reached the point of the Rambam. We're into something so much that it doesn't go away. In our Shemini Esrei, we should daven to Siyata D'Shemayah. We should daven to the Rabbi Mishlan to help us overcome the Yetzirah. And that's the key to overcoming difficulties in Avodas Hashem, where those difficulties have reached such a point that we find it very hard to overcome. So these are three thoughts on the parasha. Vartayz Varadan Shalim, the Tesis Bracha Diok in the Psukim, and Rav Shvadron's explanation of the Rambam regarding Kishri Leiv Parei. Let me leave you with a kasha. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote certain parakim of Tehillim for Klal Yisrael. One of them is Tefillah LaMoshe, the parak of Tehillim that we say in our Shabbos davening. Tefillah LaMoshe, surely Kim, we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that. I have a kasha. It says in that parak of Tehillim, the pasuk Yimecha Yehem Shivim Shana, Bim Bigavura Yishmeinim Shana. Here it says that a person lives 70 years, and if he's strong, can live 80 years. The Gemara in Yuma says that Bimei David HaMelech, the world came to a point where the average life expectancy was in the area of Shivim Shana. I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a time when people lived over 100 years. All the people we know who lived during the time of Moshe Yeshua lived over 100 years. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this pasuk, Yimechayeyim Shivim Shana, Vim Vikavura Yishmeinim Shana? Akasha. Akasha for Shabbos, a good Shabbos.